Thank you so much.
Councilman Board Member Eckwell?
Here.
Councilman Board Member Lieberman?
Here.
Councilman Board Member Scholz?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem and Vice Chair Santos?
Here.
Mayor and Chair Arnold?
Here. At this time, we'll open the meeting to public communications. Any member of the public may address the council slash agency for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item described in this agenda. The council slash agency will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act,
and a tunnel is not the issue involved here. The point is to avoid litigation and reach settlements, which is more amenable to the physical responsibility. Many have been seeking answers to the city's legal dilemmas for some time. This budget doesn't provide answers but raises questions. From city manager to produce two documents at the 11th hour during the last hearing was inappropriate. It may be the way things are done where he comes from formerly, but not the way it should be done in Grover Beach. Legal notations within this budget were meaningless without the knowledge of the information that he possessed, had in his possession. His failure to include the information within the budget defeats the purposeness of openness in government, which I'm sure we all agree that we need to have. The Brown Act states that the public and the council have a right to review all information prior to its presentation. I currently have specific questions about this information, but unfortunately, the time allotted tonight won't permit such a discussion. I think the council was unfairly placed between a rock and a hard place by the city manager. The document was just given to you hours prior to this first hearing we had back on the 4th. Time wasn't allotted to the city council within this budget's parameters for changes prior to its ultimate approval, which I assume is going to be the night. We say we have to reach deadlines if we want to get it done by July 1st. The city manager wants immediate approval of his budget like it did last year. I see a lot of repeats of what happened last year. You're put up against a rock and a hard place, and you're forced to go ahead and virtually rubber stamp the whole budget. This doesn't best serve the interests of Grover Beach citizens, I feel, and I believe you feel the same way. My second item regards the streets. On June 4th, the city council unanimously agreed to honor their commitment to putting a minimum of $300,000 on the residential streets. A commitment means allocating funds from either the general funds or reserve funds. Monies coming from state like gas tax or transportation funds are not found money, but resources specifically earmarked for the streets. The appropriate question would be, why did we have three times those resources this year over last year's funds? Where did the monies that would have came about similar to last year, where did they go? They didn't go on the streets. Councilman Eckbaum, who is a three-time incumbent, chose to take a vacation during the budget hearings. That's his problem. His revisiting of the street issue during the wee hours and the public's during the wee hours is the public's problem. It appears to be an apparent violation of the Brown Act. The item was not on the evening's agenda, preventing the public from discussing the merits of the issue. He should have avoided discussing the items, as Councilman Lieberman has done in the past when he has failed to attend proceedings there. I thank you very much, and I hope that you see your way tonight to commit yourself to what you originally committed at the previous meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chuck. Anyone else? Mr. Gross.
Mr. Mayor and Council, my name is Ken Gross. I live at 458 Ramona in Grover Beach.
Who cares?
I just want to bring up a couple of items here that I noticed while looking at this budget scenario, and I thought were relevant in the fact that you're always searching for money, and it looks like there's some dead weight in some of this particular material here. I want to reference pages G31, 32, and 33 of the budget. We show in here numerous education, travel, publication, memberships, community relations accounts, and finally, a contingency account. In total, all of these travel expenses, publication, memberships, community relations, contingency. The second item I hadn't intended to speak to tonight, but since it is on our late night agenda for in closed session, I thought I would speak to it. It appears that we have another police department hearing going on here. It seems that it just continues and continues. I don't know anything about this hearing, nor do I care to know anything about this hearing. All I care about is how much money is being spent in continued litigation involving the police department. The problems are obviously held behind closed doors because the public does not need to know about private workings of this nature. However, the amount of money spent is a matter of public record and should be available as such. If it's a management problem that we have in the police department, it may be time to consider outsourcing police work in our city. If we're going to go on and spend, and to, in my estimation as a guess, anywhere from $600,000 to $800,000 on litigation and et cetera in the last couple of 3 years, I think it's time to take a good look at it. So you guys are there, you're running the ship, but you're responsible to the citizens of this town on how you spend their money. So I ask you to look wisely. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening. Liz Dukas, 555 Seabright Avenue. In reference to what Chuck Ashton and Ken Gross have just spoken about, they bring up very important questions and issues regarding this current city budget. I, too, have many questions of where monies are going, under what category, and where past monies have gone, the so-called contingency funds. The other night, when watching the end of the second night of budget hearings, I was aghast that two pages were produced after the fact, two very important pages, explaining important figures in a very disingenuous and deceitful manner. A lot of these figures for our city must be clear and concise, with no room for fuzzy math, personal agendas, or later to be moved around on the whim of one person to cover bases throughout the city. The figures and the monies have always been there for the specific issue of road improvement, as has been discussed at length, and you are very much aware of the gas tax money and the traffic money, monies coming from the general fund, yet we get rambling speeches for, quote, coming up with or, quote, finding these funds, and I just don't get it, nor do I, as a layperson, understand it at all. The city manager of all Grover Beach employees has an obligation to be forthright and honest, above reproach in all dealings, and I just don't get that feeling. It seems as though we aren't getting all the information in a public forum, but after the fact in late-night shuffling of unreadable paperwork. As for Mr. Ekbaum, and for Mr. Ekbaum, too, after the fact, raised the issue again about the streets at an improper time, resounds with what the public has complained to me personally about. You say one thing to get the privilege to sit on the council, and then say another thing down the road when it's too late and we are left powerless once again year after year. I find all of these actions unctuous and disingenuous. They are playing games with our future for personal agendas that are absolutely contrary to the wishes of the very citizens they are obligated to fairly represent. We need good leadership that can stand strong for the honest, truthful, and forthright representation of the citizens of Grover Beach, which must be sought.
No.
Thank you.
Yes. Sure.
Some of this information, letters have been written to the city manager in regard to this, some of these items, and I have had conversations with the city manager that brought no fruition, so I can see no reason to continue the conversation with the city manager. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. We are starting with the fiscal year 04 budget, and it looks like it may go longer than the 30 minutes allotted, so I think with the approval of the council, if it does, we will start the regular meeting a little later. Do we want to finish this tonight? So we'll at least finish the budget, no matter how long it takes, and then move into to our regular meeting. Anybody have a problem with that? Or
not a problem, just a suggestion. There's a ceremonial calendar scheduled for 6:30. If those folks show up, could we break and do the ceremonial calendar and then jump back to this?
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. Everybody like that, or is that
That's
okay?
Fine.
All right. So we'll move into public hearing item number one, proposed fiscal year 04 budget. We want to go councilperson by councilperson and come up with our comments of the budget, or how would you guys want to approach this? Anybody need more staff input, or? What we'll do is also, I think that, you know, since this is a public hearing, we are going to have public hearing on this item, so, you know, you guys will have the chance to make any other comments after we're kind of made our comments, too. Anybody want to start?
I would start with a motion to approve the budget. So,
okay.
You don't want to start with me.
then I'll start. I think
finish with me.
Well, we left this the last time as the mayor had brought up the idea, the discussion regarding allocating $200,000 from the general fund on streets, and we were trying to find ways to maybe come up with that additional monies. Where we left it, there were two suggestions. I had suggested that maybe we can go through this budget and cut some items. I felt there may be an opportunity to consolidate some of the items, but I'm not sure how far that would go. I think the other was discussed about putting that into contingency. As I was reading through the report, I'm just curious to know if we can discuss amongst ourselves up here this evening the policy of reserves, the State Budget Crisis Fund. I think it's falling right about 24-25%. Do we want that number to be that high? Is that a way we can find those funds? The other thing that I wanted to maybe bring up this evening was, let me see if I can find that. The enhanced revenues that has been shown in this budget, I know we're tying it to a blue ribbon committee, but I'm curious to know that, are we already saying that we're not going to go after any cost recovery, or is that a policy decision that we can discuss this evening? Do we want to go 100% cost recovery? I feel we can do that before we adopt this budget. I think that would give me a level of comfort to go forward with these proposed enhancements that are in this budget.
Committees on those two items, or two different individual areas have met, then I think we can see where they want to go, because those are the people that are probably going to be most affected by cost recovery. And there's just, you know, I've seen so many different ways to do cost recovery that I'm skeptical. I wouldn't want to vote for 100% cost recovery. I think there are areas in all aspects of the city that the city does bear some type of responsibility for, even if it supposedly benefits only those people that are getting that service. Mm-hmm. Well, the rest of us have had that service in the past. The rest of us have had the opportunity to put curb gutter and sidewalk in, or build a house and maybe not have those fees. Of course, we've paid taxes for years to kind of compensate for that. But I think there's a give and take on both lines of that issue. The other thing, as far as you're talking about with reserves, I think there's two ways to attack that. One way is that we can either change our reserve policy, which would probably take an act that would come in front of the council, and we'd have to go through new ordinances or new resolutions, right, exactly. We'd have to have new resolutions that set new limits, or we would have to say at this point that we would expend X amount of money out of emergency funds and still stay with the same resolutions. That's my personal opinion. I don't know if anybody else has any opinion, or Mr. Anderson wants to chime in there, if anybody else does. But
yeah, and before he chimes in, I guess the kind of what my thought is, if we're talking about some new financial policies that's before this council, I thought that might be an appropriate location in which we can talk about that. I think we need to make that decision. I'm still wrestling with these enhanced revenues because what if we don't achieve it? You know, and so that's where I'm trying to get to a comfort level with this budget.
The reserve levels are a matter of the current adopted financial policies, and they call for a reserve in the general fund of 15% for a general reserve and 5% for an emergency reserve. That's what the current policies call for. In addition to that, in last year, in the current year budget, we actually had a reserve for whatever the state might take away, which at the time the state was dealing with last year's budget, they were looking at taking away or not backfilling the motor vehicle license fee revenue. So we established a reserve equal to the amount of revenue that the city gets for motor vehicle license fees at $718,000 in the current year. So that number is $300,000 higher than what is proposed this year for the reserve at $410,000. That reserve, we were saying when we were putting the budget together, the best information we had available, that was kind of what we thought was a worst-case scenario with regard to the state budget. The current number that is being discussed at the state level would be about $215,000 for the city of Grover Beach. Of the budget, then you wouldn't have to raise the fees in order to come up with the money to pay for those on an ongoing basis. So just kind of two big picture things. So part of what we had proposed in the budget was an updating of the financial policies. One of the things the council asked us to do in May was to have a general contingency, because on an ongoing basis, every year during the course of the year, the council allocates money to unforeseen kinds of activities. And so what we proposed in the budget was to reduce the general contingency from 15% down to 10%, and to have a general, or the general reserve from 15% down to 10%, and have a general contingency of 5%. Basically, we'd be in the same place, but recognize that we have consistently drawn down upwards of 5% of the budget during the course of the year from the general reserve. There was still included in the proposed policy is the 5% emergency reserve, and there's nothing in the proposed financial policies that deals with how do we balance the budget based on what might happen to us with regard to the state. So that's still an issue that's up in the air. We can't advise you any better than to say the current theoretical impact is $215,000 on the city of Grover Beach on a permanent basis, which means that that reserve is one-time money. It's not ongoing money. So if we balance the budget this year using one-time money, that means you're going to have to find $200,000 again, or we're going to have to find $200,000 next year on an ongoing basis, and ongoing reductions or ongoing revenue enhancements or some combination. Now, if council is interested, the administrative services director pulled together some information with regard to reserves and the situation that we've been in over the years that got us up to a level of reserves that we have in the current year budget and in the proposed budget. If you'd like to see that and go through that, we can do that and look at a historical perspective. It also addresses the issue of what percentage of the budget has been devoted to employee services costs, which is an issue that has come up in the context of the reserves and finances. That information is available to you if you'd like to go through that.
I'd be interested in seeing
okay.
that.
Dave? Are you now talking about the information, or are you talking about John's
information? Information you want to see.
Let's see it.
Steve?
Yeah, I rolled back into town a few hours ago, and I have some numbers to share, but I'd love to see what Gayla's got.
Okay.
Gracias.
What I did earlier to reserve position, and as you can tell, our revenues were under our expenditures that year by $94,000 and the prior year by over $500,000. So at that point in time, we were spending more money than what we were bringing in. It took approximately 7 years to build our reserves up to the $2 million point.
Of course, the thing that's not showing here either is at that time we didn't have the separate enterprise funds from water and sewer either, I believe. I think everything was commingled in the general fund, or was it?
I know 94 and on, they were separate funds. Can't recall before that period of time if they were separate funding sources.
I don't think they were, and it was very difficult to find out how much money we did have. I think that's why all of a sudden we went, oh, my gosh, we're out of money. And that was part of it, is that there was just, you know, everything was commingled, and there were so many different – isn't that kind of part of it? Eve, you were here, I think.
Called Miss the History you're talking about. It was handled all across the hall pretty much.
Oh.
And it was right out. It was. I was only here for barely okay. a year when it switched over.
Okay.
Okay, so one of the concerns that I have with starting to heavily start to use our cash reserves is getting us back into a position that we were back in 1992. I would hate to see the city get back into that position. Because as you can see, you can vary from year to year as to your revenues versus your expenditures depending on what type of spending plans you have going on. This current fiscal year, we have several items that are one-time expenditures, and that's why you see a proposal of over $1 million versus the revenues that are coming into the general fund. And also, the salaries and benefits have been questions at times, and the percentage of salaries and benefits to general fund expenditures hit its high point in 1997 with 72%, and in the proposed budget, it's at 65%. Does anyone have any questions?
Has everybody got this memorized now?
Of course.
You bet.
Can you tell, maybe I have a question. I'm trying to search for the one-time expenditures that we're spending this particular year's budget that puts us $1 million in the hole, even before you talk about
a good portion,
revenue enhancements.
A good portion is out of the major capital section, which is $631,000 out of major capital.
If it might be helpful for the council if you were to turn to page E7 in the cash position summary section.
You say you have a balanced budget in all forms.
Well, according to the policy, we're supposed to deal with it on a cash basis, and on a cash basis, the budget is balanced because we are saying, with regard to the assuming we didn't spend any money in the reserves, we would have $1.5 million at the end of the fiscal year if we collected all the revenue we anticipate, and if we spent all the money we're authorized to spend, we would have $1.5 million at the end of the year. Secondly, when we look at ongoing revenues versus ongoing expenditures, we are right at, I think, around $267,000. The proposed budget is $267,000 to the good with regard to ongoing revenues versus ongoing expenditures. So some of the activities that are budgeted, for example, the minor capital number, the $61,900 up above, those are one-time expenditures. Some of the activities within the $1.4 million of supplies and services are one-time kinds of activities. And so when you analyze it on a line item by line item basis, we are balanced ongoing plus one-time with a surplus of $1.5 million. And an ongoing versus ongoing, we're ahead by $267,000. Now, that assumes new revenue enhancements of $450,000. So if those were not there, if some or all of the $450,000 did not materialize, then we would have a structural imbalance with regard to ongoing revenues versus ongoing expenditures, unless we chose not to add some of the proposed expenditure enhancements that are designed to be offset by the revenue enhancements.
What does a major capital break down, the 631,255, what does that break down to be?
It's a combination.
It's on page 065.
065. You'll note that about $245,000 of that is for the local street paving program. At various elements to the general plan update, the housing element, the coastal view study, the land use element, circulation element, are the a police car, down payment on a fire engine, fire station. Facility improvements, three-quarter ton truck.
It's a case of you can make the numbers say whatever you want. Somehow. To me, a balanced budget is your expenditures are equal to your revenue. This is a negative by $1 million. I'm not sure if street repair, local street repair, is a capital improvement even. That sounds to me like it's a maintenance thing, but. I hear where you're at.
Well,
the fact that we're spending $1 million more than your revenues, to me, isn't a balanced budget. I understand you have reserves to cover it, but I don't believe reserves are income or revenue. I believe that's a cash reserve that's built up over time. It's like a savings account. It's to be used for special one-time things, but I think it has to be very clearly noted that it is. Otherwise, you don't have, which I always feel is we have conservative budgets here. We estimate low on revenues and high on expenditures, and then we have a balanced budget. We're living within our means for that particular year without revenue, without reserves. So. I'm a little concerned here. This is new information to me, and I maybe should have picked up on it, but I certainly didn't.
Just as a note, also part of the over expenditures are items which are loans to other funds to carry imbalances, as one example is the stormwater fund, which we are fronting the costs until there is a revenue source for the stormwater fund.
And the Industrial Enhancement Redevelopment Agency area. Same thing.
The loans that will be repaid back. So
correct.
And that's in a capital improvement.
It's a charge. Negative revenue. Mm-hmm. It's the net of the transfers. So on here it shows that the 94,000 number. That's a net mm-hmm. of transfers in and out of the general fund.
Smell sawdust burning. Is that what you guys all thinking hard?
So it's like with the fire truck when you said, why should we just put a down payment when we have it in reserves and why pay for it? So now we're taking a second look at something like that?
Mm-hmm. I guess I don't have a problem with the concept of loaning money to a fund that we know is going to generate revenues. I guess where I'm just having a concern with is what is the basis for that projection, and is it realistic, and can we accomplish it? And I know a lot of it will be answered with the Blue Ribbon Committee, but maybe I'm just not being patient enough, but I'm feeling like I need to just have some clarification on that number. Is there based on past performance and the fees are this, and if we increase them by a small percentage, we can get there. I think for myself, that's kind of the assurance or comfort level I'm trying to get to.
The $450,000 is an aggressive approach. There's no question. And it is not full cost having a clear understanding on the part of the populace about where the inequities are, and further, what the resources would be used for, not necessarily in a special tax sense, but just in a general tax sense, would be part of that. That's also one of the goals that the council has given us, and it has not been presented in this budget because we felt that we ought to take things kind of one step at a time, particularly using the concept of the Blue Ribbon Committees by having the folks that are impacted by the decisions be involved in shaping the decisions.
Okay, I can see this is going to go on for a while. We want to do our ceremonial calendar now.
Sounds like a great idea.
And take a break and do a ceremonial calendar. Actually, do we really need to adjourn this and then open up another? Okay, so we're going to adjourn this special meeting of this. Adjourn the joint Grover City, Grover Beach City Council meeting and Improvement Agency for a minute, and we're going to open the Grover Beach City Council meeting for June 16, 2003 at this point. And we have, do we need to do all the amenities of these flag salute and all that, or do we want to just, can we just move into ceremonial calendar? Okay, let's just move into the ceremonial calendar.
Perhaps a roll call would be appropriate.
Okay, I'm changing here. Don't get anything set in stone. Okay, we'll go ahead and do the invocation on flag salute to start with, and if you'll stand, and we'll have the invocation by Associate Pastor Bill Berry. He's from the Calvary Chapel of Aurora Grande, and then following that, Donna McMahon will lead us in the flag salute.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we live in a free country, a country where we can live in peace. Yet, Father, with that privilege comes the responsibility, as we're told in your word, to pray for our leaders so that we could continue to live in peace. And so, Father, we pray tonight for these wonderful men and women. And we ask now, Lord, that you would give them your wisdom as you love to pour it out liberally from above. Give them wisdom, give them insight in order to, Father, fulfill your will here on earth. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Berry.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let me just read a closed session announcement really quickly, and then we'll move into a ceremonial calendar. On June 2, 2003, after meeting in closed session regarding one item conference with legal counsel on pending litigation regarding initiation of litigation on one potential case, and two, conference with labor negotiator, agency negotiator is a city manager regarding...
Some of the families cannot participate in this evening's ceremony. This is our Grover Beautiful Committee members, Harold Grog, Carolyn Walters, and Catherine Talavera. And this is one of our participants for the Spring Garden Tour, Missy Stein. And we were very fortunate to have a great turnout this year in the Spring Garden Tour. We had well over 300 participants walking through these people's yards, and they were very welcoming and letting us come in and show their beautiful gardens to the community and the county. And committee members volunteered their time to be there all day to show the gardens, and it was a very warm day, so we are really thankful and appreciate your time that day, and would like to present you with a certificate of appreciation for showing your garden. This is Missy Stein. Thank you. And also this evening, we'd like to present Councilmember Dee Santos with a certificate of appreciation. She opened up her driveway for the plant exchange. It was the second annual year that we had the exchange. And this was our very popular event that she created herself a couple years ago. And people come and bring a plant and take a plant. And it's very popular. So, and she also made some cake, so it was good too. So thank you all very much. Thank you.
enjoyed it. I enjoyed the way you did the company. I have to kind of have what the...
The secret.
Some kind of iris. Iris. That's pretty neat. Okay, what is this company?
Okay, do we want to go back to the budget battle now, or do we want to...
Could you see if there's anyone here for that one public hearing, that disadvantaged business enterprise thing?
Is anyone present for item number 9, public hearing 2002-2003, disadvantaged business enterprise DBE program? Okay, seeing none, we will... Do you want to do the consent agenda, and then does anybody want to... Anybody got any real burning items on the consent agenda that they'd like to pull off or discuss separately?
Actually, I did have one. Why don't we go back to the budget?
Okay, let's go back to the budget because we can't really do this because we've got proclamations anyway, right? Okay. This is the blind leading the can't see. So, all right, so we're going to adjourn our council meeting and go back to the joint Council Improvement Agency meeting on the budget.
Fine job.
Okay, back to budget discussion. David.
Would you help explain something for me now? This is really throwing me for a loss, I have to tell you. I was just going to be bragging to John about how this is such a conservative budget and we have such large reserves and so much room to play with and all this. And then you're showing me that even after we get these revenue enhancements of $450,000.
Loan to the Stormwater Fund and the Area 2 Improvement Agency startup loan.
So that's a loan. That I'm comfortable with that.
The $476,000 is a loan.
So now we're down to $50,000 or something. But that means that next year, if we have exactly same income, same budget, we will not have any money to spend on capital improvements to be a balanced budget. To me, this is out of balance. I don't know how else you could tell me that our revenues are, we're using one-time money to pay for street maintenance, street engineering, a lot of things that I think are expenses. They're not capital improvements.
Well, perhaps I could hazard an attempt at trying to explain. The street improvements are improvements that will last for a significant period of time, and therefore they are capitalized on an accounting basis, and therefore they are capital improvements. The thought in this budget is that several items have been suggested for funding that are designed to enhance the service that the city provides or the ability to generate resources on an ongoing basis. So, for example, the loans to the creation of the industrial enhancement area were intended for that purpose. The loan for the stormwater fund is something we have to do. We have to figure out how to address NPDES, the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System, and we have drainage issues that are impacting us, particularly on Grand Avenue. So those are things that ought to come back to the general fund. They may and probably would result in an enterprise kind of user fee for folks, but there would be a service provided that is not being provided now that to a certain extent is mandated
right.
by the federal
government. That will pay back that loan. Right. I'm concerned about next year. All of us would like to spend $500,000 more on the streets next year.
And that's
to do that, we would have to draw down next year's reserves by $500,000.
That's correct. And that's the reason why I proposed in the budget that we use the $180,000 that we're required to as a maintenance of effort in order to deal with gas tax and LTF, and to use gas tax and LTF, which are ongoing resources, to be able to pay for local street improvements, and in fact, to increase the amount from $300,000 a year to closer to $600,000. That is something that can happen, and it can happen on an ongoing basis, assuming that the state doesn't figure out some way to sequester gas tax funds or LTF ongoing resources. Reserves that look at criteria that says, okay, if you're going to spend reserves, let's spend one-time money on something that's going to generate revenue on an ongoing basis, or let's spend one-time money on something that will avoid costs on an ongoing basis, or let's spend one-time money on an activity that will leverage the expenditure of funds by the public or private sector from some other activity where somebody else is putting their money into something just because we and so we had proposed that.
I agree with all those. You're not doing that right here. We're spending on streets and engineering. I mean, we're not doing what our new resolutions say that we should do with our reserve money. I guess that's my point. And if you look at this budget without the revenue enhancements, now we're $1.5 million in the red. We're spending $101.5 million more than our income. I have to tell you, I'm surprised, very surprised. I was all ready to brag about our great reserves we've had and our conservative estimates and our balanced budget, and to me it's not balanced. I can see a logic of using reserves, but when we start doing it for our streets, when you draw them down next year, you have that much less reserves, and if we're doing it at this rate 3 years from now, we wouldn't have any money in our reserves. If we drew down $500,000 next year for streets. So anyway, I'm true. I'm just.
In saying that, Dave, you're also including the part that we're going to be getting back? And you're saying $1.5 million?
To get the money back from DBD, our stormwater drain, is going to be a long time process, I would think. We can start charging fees, but it would be a long recovery period to return the money that we're loaning from the storm drain things. And I understand it will come back, but it's certainly not in the next year or 2 years or, I doubt, 5 years.
So getting back to John's statement about 100% cost recovery, it's something that we might have to look back.
I'd like to just mention that. To say that we want 100% cost recovery makes our Blue Ribbon Committee meaningless. I think we need to listen to what their input is and understand you're trying to look at where's the money coming from. I understand that, and it's a very wise question. But I think if we right now come out and say we need 100% recovery, then why have a Blue Ribbon Committee? Just do a accounting study and change the rates, and I don't agree with that. But
yeah, well, I don't know. I guess I see the Blue Ribbon Committee serving two functions. Obviously, the first is how much can we raise our fees and still be in the ball game. I guess the other part is there's a service out there, and let me just use planning and building as an example because that's what I have the most experience in. Is that probably say we want 100% cost recovery and come darn close to achieving it, and so. I guess I'm just trying to figure out a way that we can give this staff some direction. I can understand the concept and where they're trying to go with it, but I think we need to give them direction as to, are we looking for 70% cost recovery with parking wrecks? Are we looking for 100% cost recovery with our building permits and planning? Because apparently we have not been charging adequate monies to cover the service that's being provided. And so I know that city manager and I have talked, and so before we do raise those fees, we do want to make sure that we're providing the service, and we're not just going to raise the fee and not see an improvement in the service. So the Blue Ribbon Committee would certainly still be beneficial in addressing that point of it. I just think that if we're being asked to approve a budgeting concept, I just need to clearly see a connection of these enhancements and what it's based on, and so that's kind of where I was coming from.
Can I jump in?
Steve.
Thanks. I think I've been pretty redundant in this whole issue on the special enhancements. I'm very cautious about accepting those into the budget as proposed. And it's for several factors. First of all, we've got a full year of proposed revenue enhancements in here without the timetable of Blue Ribbon Committee selection, formation, goal setting, and the report to the council. I mean, it could very well be we could be looking at one quarter of $451,000, or about $90,000 when it's all said and done, if it takes that long for the suggestions to be adopted by this council. That puts our budget at risk. And again, part of my lack of the comfort zone is not seeing any of the information that went into this number. And, I've during this whole process, I've killed everyone with my two very redundant questions.
What were they?
Yeah. Anyone in the audience? A little help? Really focusing on accountability. And the way I look at it is the staff is accountable to our CM, city manager, and the city manager is accountable to the council. And I think we're very accountable to the people who put us in these positions. And I am definitely not in a position to be able to defend this budget from an accountability position right now to the members of the community. And that $450,000, after seeing this general fund analysis, frankly scares me quite a bit. And I agree, we do need some direction. And John, based on your expertise, I trust your opinion on community development being able to recover a substantial portion of costs. We need to make a decision based on input from the community on recreation programs, because the percentage contribution, especially on youth-supported activities, varies community by community. And I just don't see how we're going to hold Kathy Pecker's recreation department accountable to, what was the number, $147,000 of proposed revenue without a game plan. And I'm still very, very cautious about accepting that number.
I had a question while we're in the middle of this. Our cast position states that at the end of the year we will probably, or we're looking at being $750,178. Have that money left in our wastewater enterprise fund, and it would seem to me that we've done this before. We borrowed money from wastewater or from the water enterprise funds as a city entity to finance the improvement agency, and that
in some jeopardy of not being able to pass that, the wastewater fund I think is probably in a better position. If we were to change the funding source and say that the loans to the agency were coming from the wastewater enterprise as opposed to the general fund, we could free up some general fund one-time resources. But again, it's a one-time resource. So,
well, even if we don't free up general one-time resources, maybe it will make us feel more comfortable about our general fund balance. Maybe what Dave's talking about as far as not feeling comfortable about a $1.1 million deficit at the end of the year, that would give us about, probably, mm-hmm. that would change it to $600,000 to $650,000 deficit in the general fund category. I mean, it's like you said, these numbers, you can do anything with these numbers.
Yeah.
And
you're just borrowing from a different pocket in the same city. So it's not
now, when we borrow this money, we have to pay it back with interest. Isn't that true? Or is that basically so it's, we're not like stealing it from anybody, but it does go back with interest to these enterprise funds.
Because it is user fee supported, it does need to have interest.
Right.
Anybody else? I'm more concerned about the level of spending rather than where the money's coming from, water fund loan or from the general fund. Let me
throw out some other suggestions that I might make. One would be that we put a hiring freeze on any new employees until the mid-year budget review. at that time, if everything looks like it's working well, then maybe we'll hire some of these people we've talked about. Maybe it's more prudent to do that. Other things that I think I would like to see us do would take some make sure that the CDBG money is if we can use it for infrastructure or facilities that benefit the whole community. I'd rather see us do that than the human services grants that we have. Human services grants are great, but we're in dire need of infrastructure repairs in a lot of areas. That we had a lady that stood up a couple of nights ago at the first budget hearing we had and said that her house was still flooding on Mentone, and that's horrible. And I think those are areas that CDBG money helps helps us, where we don't have the money to really maybe put a couple more drop inlets in, even though we've talked about it. We talked about doing a Long Branch a drop inlet on Long Branch this year. But I think those are, in my opinion, that's something that benefits a whole community. The whole community is not being flooded or wastewater is being taken care of. And it also kind of keys into the wastewater storm drainage system that we have to put together, which does benefit the entire city of Grover Beach. The other thing, I saw that we were going to buy two new trucks for Public Works, and one of the let me go someplace before I go there. I think that I'm not really an advocate of the way the budget process is looking, this budget document is this year. I know that the check register, but I don't know that anybody really follows that check register and make sure that the police department has spent as much money as they're supposed to spend during the year or less, or if they've bought the vehicles that they were supposed to. We really don't track that. We leave that up to staff. This is the only time that we're fiscally responsible, that we are responsible for really determining where this community spends its money. And so for me, line items are very important, and I've had a really hard time going back from the back part of this budget to the different individual departments and trying to determine who's spending what on line items and things like that, because there are some times that I think that we need to say, is it really necessary to have two new trucks at this year? Can we put one off for a year or 2 years? What are our criteria? And is the criteria just that it has 75,000 miles, or is the criteria that it's spending that you're spending $400 a month on that vehicle, and that vehicle needs to be replaced? And I know those are things that our city staff is in process of updating with a computer system at the yard, and I appreciate that, and I've been asking for that for several years, and I'm glad that Jerry's doing that. But at this point, I think when we start talking about one-time items, then something like that may be an item that we say, it can go for another 2 years or another year. And likewise, our police vehicles, do we really need to replace them, or is it just they match the numbers? It's 75,000 miles or 5 years. Oh, it's time to buy a new one. That's not necessarily true. You don't do that at home. When you replace your vehicle at home, it's because it needs to be replaced, not necessarily because you got 75,000 miles on it. And so those are just some questions I'm asking. And I really, like I said, I would really like to see us go back to a format where the line items are within the individual departments. And that's just my personal input for the budget. Enough said. Anybody else got something to say?
I think in response to you is that I'd like to hear from the management themselves. I mean, they're the ones that helped propose this budget, and if they felt they needed that, I don't think they're going to come up here and I can't think of the word in a nice term.
I just said it.
Let it rip.
All right. Anyway, I think when Mike sat here and proposed his budget and told us what was needed, and you heard Jerry out there, I don't think, Ron, that they're going to come in here and say, we need this because we think it's pretty and it has a nice color to it. They're the ones that actually use them, not us. And stuff. And same thing with the police department. There was things they wanted, and they said they didn't ask because they knew better. They were going to be cut out anyway. So if we're going to do that, then I want to hear back from those people themselves that actually do use the product.
Would you like a response on the hiring freeze or vehicle or?
I don't know if that's where council wants to go. I'm just throwing out suggestions, and if someone else feels that applicable, sure.
I'd like some response to that.
Well, just off the top of my head, we have a community development director position that's vacant, a building official, a real pressure on the rest of the crew, and would result in having to pay overtime in order to just try to keep our head above water, so to speak. We have two vacant police lieutenant positions. We have the economic development coordinator position that's proposed in the budget that is designed to help us make money on an ongoing basis, and the code enforcement officer, which is designed to address one of the council's highest priority items, which is proactive code enforcement. Are there other positions that I am forgetting? And the person who maintains the buildings, a part-time building maintenance position.
Isn't there a rec coordinator, too, in the budget?
And a new rec coordinator position. And the theory there was that person is the one that's going to help get the expand the recreation program, and along with that is an expansion of the resources. So a hiring freeze, I think, would make it very difficult for us to be able to deliver the certainly the 17 goals that the council has laid out for us.
You know, I'm not saying that I'm advocating that. I think it needs just something that needed to be said, because there are other communities that have actually, you know, read it in the paper, that other communities have done that, and there's been people that advocated it in our own community. So I think that's something that needs to be put on the table, whether we do it or not. It needs to be talked about.
The vehicle replacement, we actually quite often buy used vehicles and have, as council knows, in the case of the vehicles that we're talking about, they far exceed the policy level, and we had very significant and detailed conversations with Jerry about what vehicles actually do need to be replaced. And we've also discussed with the council the concept of moving, as you pointed out, moving towards a system that will allow us to track that and also to amortize the costs, so that we're not looking at big hits in any one year, but spreading it out over time. Another point to address is that almost $200,000 of this one-time money in the general fund is for general plan update kinds of activities. That is something that can be recovered through user fees and be amortized out over time, because it's the development industry that benefits from having an updated general plan. So there's potential there for cost recovery on those. Maybe not all at once, but certainly spreading it out over time.
Will those two projects take, will they be accomplished in a year? It seems like they're pretty lengthy projects.
Susan?
Pretty lengthy projects when they get started.
They'll take at least a year, if not a year and a half. Mm-hmm. But they are our general plan, doing some serious work on it.
Well, when's our next meeting?
Ron, you had mentioned about
includes general fund, general plan updates, and that, for example, if you were in a period of high activity and you're actually collecting a little bit more money than you're using at that point in time, when it's in the general fund, that just goes towards fund balance. If it's in an enterprise, that balance stays there and helps reduce the fees on an ongoing basis, or reduce the need for a fee increase in the future, or provides the resources for a relatively immediate infusion of appropriations in order to address a higher level of building activity. So that's an example of what we were intending to deal with in the Blue Ribbon Committee activity. And certainly if council is expressing an interest in moving towards an enterprise function, then that's something that we can try to help address with that particular Blue Ribbon Committee.
Because, you know, I like that concept. I think it's been proven in other communities, and maybe it's something we should consider. I don't know how that affects us this year, but it's certainly something that we need to start heading in that direction.
I agree with that, but that's just a cost recovery. Aren't you going to just say that that's a part of the cost that
It would go beyond what the theory is or what's assumed with the $450,000 that's in the budget to say, yeah, let's move towards a full enterprise activity. Let's recover some of the costs that are included in the budget, like the general plan kinds of things, and amortize those over time. Part of what is appropriate and legal to do is to deal with the allocated costs of the indirect overhead that it deals with what it takes in order to have a building department, planning department kinds of activities. So the time for payroll services or personnel services or the city council, for example, are all eligible costs to be recovered through user fees because they benefit those kind of activities.
Mayor, I'd have to tell you, I think it would be very poor policy for us to put enough hiring freeze now with our shortage of employees here. Some very major departments. I think that would really create more problems for us, not solve any temporary budget problems. But I understand where you're going, and I'm not sure if some kind of a short-term freeze on these new initiatives that we've started, whether it's code enforcement or whatever else, until we start seeing some of these budgets and this Blue Ribbon Kenny Committee and these revenue enhancement things coming in, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're right. Because, Steve, I agree with him. It could easily be 6 months before these Blue Ribbon Committees have made recommendations and we've adopted them and the fees are changed. And so to think that we're going to get $450,000 this year is pretty
hopeful.
Homeful.
Well, I guess the two that you're alluding to are probably what I was more or less alluding to myself would be the improvement agency person and the code enforcement person. Maybe those two at this point would be something. Even though maybe
My problem with that improvement agency one is the only one that looks like it's going to try and generate some income, and that's what we're after.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, you know that would be his sole purpose, and
or hers.
Well, yeah. Or hers. I don't know where this is going to go.
Well, staff has said that this budget is trying to address a very aggressive program that we laid out through 17 goals. So I think we need to take a look at those goals and can we all accomplish them all in 1 year or 2 years, or do we need to take a second look at it? Because they have been trying to be responsive to the direction and the goals that this council came up with. So maybe that's one place to start.
And they did exactly what we directed. I just missed some point in there where we're spending $1 million of our reserves to accomplish those goals.
Exactly.
And so that, to me, isn't spending out of an operating balanced budget.
Yeah.
We're spending down our reserves to accomplish our goals. And you're right. I would look harder at some of those goals if I thought that we can't continue them in the future or maintain them. Mm-hmm. And when we're spending reserves, we can't continue to do that.
So this is a one-time shot. So if you do it this year, don't look for it next year.
Well, that's what I would like to ask a couple of questions about our reserve policy that's in our thing here. If I may, I don't want to get us off the subject, but it's sort of on the same thing. in our one of our resolutions for adopting the thing, we have an area on reserves, and it gives us a city policy on how to draw down reserves.
Tell us where you're at, David.
I'm on page 2 of attachment C.
It's also on
number
D4.
Item budget. 7.
In D4, our, the budget.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in a different book, but that's fine.
Doesn't matter.
Same thing.
They're both the same thing.
If I would look at, read down those one-time expenditures that generates ongoing cost savings or cost avoidance, ongoing revenue enhancements, leverages the expenditure of significant public or private investments, I don't see where a lot of these capital improvement expenditures fit that, and yet we're spending $1 million down of our reserves. So I'm wondering, where are we spending our reserves if we're trying to follow these, this reserve policy here? And I guess that's a question. If, mm-hmm. Is a user fee study meet any of these reasons for spending our reserves on that user fee study?
Revenue enhancement.
Yes.
Okay.
Cost avoidance.
How about Corporation Yard or Technology Master Plan or Street Engineering? Rain gutters at the city shop. I'm not trying to pick on any particular one. I'm just saying that we're spending down $1 million on reserves, but I don't see how we can
actually
spend $600,000 on any of with our following our policies.
It's 600. It's not a million.
Pardon me?
It's only 600. The million is incorporated when you talk about the water.
Reduce costs on an ongoing basis. For example, the City Hall energy retrofit is intended to do that. The user fee study is intended to generate revenue on an ongoing basis. Part of it is policy related. For example, the local street paving kinds of activities where council made a commitment in the goals to do that. Part of it is because we don't have a vehicle replacement fund and we don't have the amortization, we have some vehicles that are due for replacement now. If we fail to replace them now, we're going to have increased downtime, we're going to have increased maintenance costs, and so there are cost avoidance and efficiency of getting people to work to do the jobs that they need to do that are appropriate for those kinds of activities. The engine replacement down payment, there are different ways to finance the acquisition of the engine, but there's no question in my mind that we need to replace one of the fire engines now. The fire station facility improvement is a safety issue, I suppose safety is a policy that you could include in, but in reality what it is it's cost avoidance. If somebody, we have a trip and fall, slip and fall, and we have a workers' comp issue, that's the reason why we had proposed the creation of the risk management, because our risk, our liability property and workers' comp experience is higher than it should be. So I guess in the Corporation Yard, the issue there is at some time in the future, we're going to need to have more space. The question is there a way to deal with that? That's certainly something that could be put off for a year or two to answer that question. If we put it off too long, the question will be answered for us because we won't have perhaps the options. But certainly that $10,000 is something that could be put off for a year or two. Bob, do you want to?
What page are you on?
065.
We're looking at 065.
065.
I'm on the same page as the
Bingo.
Right line.
Okay. You didn't have so many darn power post-its sticking out of your budget, you'd find it.
Okay, I wasn't trying to.
So you read it.
I wasn't trying to pick on any certain item. It just seems that our reserve policy doesn't allow us to meet a lot of these. But I'm hearing your explanations there.
Yeah.
So we can kind of make it work.
Right.
And I think if there's items that we can defer or push off, maybe that gives us the opportunity to have this blue ribbon committee to identify these enhancements. And so then we come back fully armed with the ammo we need to go down that route. Because, as I said earlier, I do believe there are opportunities out there. But it looks like we're spending more than we're bringing in right now. And so if we can defer items, not so much cut them, then maybe that's an exercise we need to go through. I think that's one. I think the mayor had talked about two trucks? Hadn't you talked about that earlier?
I just said a truck. I mean, probably need one. I don't know if we could do one this year and one next year. I would just threw that out. I just saw two, and I thought, you know, maybe we could just defer one for a year or two. But
well, one is in the general fund, and the other is, I think it's in
spread.
The water fund.
It's in a couple.
Right. And spread actually spread this
right.
couple of enterprise fund.
So maybe we defer the general fund one. I don't know. Just threw that out.
See now, if we would do something like that, I would want to know what that vehicle does.
Yeah, but I think what he's saying is instead of getting it this year, we do it maybe next year.
But, I mean, if we had to choose between one, which one are we going to benefit from most? You know, if we're going to start cutting, like that.
Charge either one of them off to them. Yeah. I mean, they're both from public works. You can charge them out wherever you want to charge them out.
We would be the worst ones to decide what truck is
that's exactly
necessary.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And I think that's why staff is here. We have staff there, and we have staff out there. And
I know.
They're part of this process. Yeah.
But then again, staff isn't the one that actually uses that truck. It's the blue-collar workers that actually do that. And I think I've heard time and time again from this council that, I've talked to the blue-collar people, and they told me this and this and this. So now we're backtracking.
Actually, that's just one vehicle that's spread over several budgets. And
both of them are. One is out of the general fund, the other one's out of water and sewer, and then the other one is out of water and sewer.
Right. If you look on page 046, the $28,000 that's there is for that vehicle.
One of the vehicles is $14,000 out of the general fund, $7,000 out of water. $7,000 out of sewer. The second vehicle is $14,000 out of water, and the $14,000 out of sewer.
Yeah.
So if we delayed that one, that would impact not only the general fund but also water and sewer.
Well, Councilmember Santos, I don't think we're backtracking. I think. In these tough economic times, I think we've included them in the budget process, and I think it's sort of like the analogy I used several meetings ago. It's sort of like that Christmas list. We can all put things on a list, but that doesn't mean you're going to get everything this year. You may get it later, and I think those are some of the hard decisions we need to make. I think Councilmember Ekbom has raised some valid points here this evening, and if we need to go down this so that we can give staff some direction, we need to get moving in the right direction so that we can get this budget adopted. I know, obviously, we're not doing it tonight, but if we need to make sure when they leave, that's my own personal opinion.
Oh.
Money out there, whether it's the recreation coordinator and the code enforcement officer, and are those separated enough to say we could put all those on hold while we... Our Blue Ribbon Committee works through the process and comes up with the revenue enhancements. That would be that $450,000 number.
To a certain extent, yes. The code enforcement officer position clearly is something that could be put on hold and is not something that has a significant cost recovery. It was designed to address the number two or number three goal that the council had. Mm-hmm. The recreation coordinator position is designed to enhance recreation program, and to the extent that there is a cost recovery or an enhanced cost recovery, then a significant portion of that position also could be recovered. I think Councilmember Lieberman pointed out last Wednesday the concern that if we weren't to fill that position, then it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy that we wouldn't generate some of the revenue. And I think that's an accurate way to analyze that particular position. The economic development coordinator position is primarily not general fund supported. It is indirectly, because part of the time is spread to the industrial enhancement area that is being funded in part by a loan from the general fund. But I think clearly, of any position in the budget, that has the biggest potential for being able to generate some ongoing resources to be able to afford the rest of the new initiatives that are in the budget that aren't user fee supported kinds of activities. There really are only those three new positions that are proposed in the budget. There are a couple of positions in the police department that are supported by a COPS grant that if we don't get the COPS grant, then we would certainly keep those positions on a contingent basis and not fill them until we were certain that we are going to get that resource from the state.
Well, some of these positions, even if we authorize them tonight, are probably going to take 6 months to get on board anyway. I would say the community development person or the economic development person, whatever we want to call it, would, I mean, that's not a slam dunk. That's probably going to take, we've been looking for a community development director at this point for 6 months, and I don't know that it would be any quicker to get a improvement agency person on board.
Yeah, there are short-term opportunities that we may be able to do certain kinds of activities that may not be the ultimate long-term person for the position. But again, not filling that position doesn't save the general fund any money. So that the real focus of the conversation that the council has been dealing with is not addressed by that. On the other hand, if we were to fill that position and get an aggressive program that starts generating resources, it may have a and so, you know, some of these one-time kinds of activities, if we didn't do them, if we said, okay, let's put them off or not do them, and we save some one-time money, all we're doing is saving the ability to spend that on some other one-time activity consistent with the policies. And clearly that's a policy decision that the council and agency can make. But it doesn't necessarily come up with ongoing resources to pay for ongoing activities.
Now that that's clear, go ahead, Steve.
You know, well, we've been discussing this. I was taking a look at the 631 that we have for the major capital outlay. And even if we took some of the items people have brought up, the vehicle and the housing element, we all wish we could throw that one out. The coastal view study, we defer the technology master plan, we defer the courtyard study. I mean, that only comes up to about less than $80,000. When you start adding things up, streets, including engineering, is $300,000. The general plan piece is $158,000. Then the fire engine and a police car, I mean, that's pretty much it. So where are we really going to cut? If the city manager is telling us there's an opportunity for the land use element update to be partially recouped by revenue and fees, and the commitment to streets being what it is, I mean, it's kind of depressing. What can we really reduce out of this or defer out of this? It's not a substantial amount of money.
Let's cut the council salaries out of this budget. That's major money.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Steve. I took a hard look this weekend, and I didn't produce a whole lot.
Excuse me.
what's our assurance that next year's budget won't have a deficit of the $1 million? If we're going, are these one-time expenditures to solve our goals? Are they going to be accomplished in this 1 year? I doubt it.
Well, the storm, how about the storm drainage plan? Now, will that accomplish that, or will, is there another section that goes on to that, plus the second improvement agency? We're, once we ante up our 179 or whatever it is this year on that, or will we be kind of stable on that for a while, or well, other than the fact that we're going to be paying for another part of an employee's salary out of that, that'll kind of clicks.
Part of what happens in a redevelopment area is that in order to capture tax increment, you have to have debt. Okay, so we've already created some debt by having the general fund lend money to the creation of that agency area. Then beyond that, to have working capital, you generally have to either borrow money or save up tax increment, but you can't really save up tax increment if you don't have debt. So we would have to borrow money or lend money to that area in order to create the facilities. So money like this, one-time money from some source, can be lent to that agency area to, for example, put in a sewer system. And then if that causes development to occur in the area that wouldn't have occurred otherwise in
chapters to that, so to speak.
There clearly are more chapters to that, and part of it is just dealing with drainage on Grand Avenue. That part is likely to be addressed, at least in terms of design terms, for the in the coming fiscal year. If an enterprise is created, then you can have revenue bonds that could be sold to based on a revenue stream. But again, that's a user fee. That's something that the folks in the community would be being asked to pay. It would be for a service that they don't receive now. So the kinds of issues that you were talking about of flooding still occurring on Mentone would certainly be something that Enterprise could deal with. Flooding occurring on Grand Avenue, that's something that Enterprise could deal with. And also capturing as much of that runoff as we can and recharging it into the aquifer would address our water availability issue. And clearly that's something that is important to continued growth of this community.
John.
Well, I was thinking maybe I'm done with the questions. I'd like to see maybe if you can ask from the public to speak.
Okay. We've kind of hashed this over, beat it to death. Does anybody in the public have any input on the items we've talked about tonight or anything in the budget in particular? Excuse me. Come on down, Chuck.
My name is Chuck Ashen. I live at 458 Seabright. I didn't really intend to talk too much during this portion of it because I was going to count on the council to do the right thing up there. Started off, I want to say that I agree on a lot of issues that were raised by the mayor tonight, and he and I must be thinking along the same lines. Talked about hiring freeze. I know that's always a taboo subject around any government. In fact, I read the Tribune today. They had a nice article on the city of San Luis Obispo, how they were going to be least affected than most communities around here by the cutbacks in the state, because down the line they've been continually hiring over the years, but they restricted it to a 1% level or less, and they still concentrated on their streets up there and other important improvements along that line. So they didn't come along and hire another 6 employees 1 year or something like that. They kept it within a reasonable bounds, and that was something that I don't think we've had done over the year. So I know you mentioned different departments here as far as hiring goes. We brought this up in the past, like community development, hardworking people over there. However, we got to face the facts. And it was pointed out to the last period, or the one before it, I guess, that we are winding down on our major projects in this town. they are banking on the future that low interest rates are going to create enough home improvements down the line to keep them busy over there. But the bottom line is, having come from somewhat of a background in mortgage broking in the past, interest rates can change overnight. Once we start, they start smelling, the Fed starts smelling that conditions are changing on a contractual basis until we know where we're heading. Another thing, I know you mentioned several things along fire engines. I don't personally have one opinion one way or the other on the condition of the fire department. All the issues involving the fire department were actually brought up by them at the last budget hearing. Councilman Lieberman is supposed to have an ad hoc committee that's going to look into it. I understand that outsourcing is one of the conditions that he's supposed to be looking at. Why are we worried about getting an engine right now if one of the final solutions that they come up with, because they're unhappy with the conditions of the current volunteer program, is going to be to outsource to, the CDF or some similar type body out there? Why are we worried so much about getting $500,000 out in a fire engine when he gets through holding his meetings that they may decide that may be the way to go? You mentioned about police cars. Well, I know in the last city council meeting, last budget hearings, if you check back there, one of the reasons they want a new police car every year is because our streets are tearing them up. So we're kind of like a catch-22 situation there. We got to buy new police cars because our streets are tearing them up, but we can't fix the streets. We got to buy new police cars. So personally, I think we need to I very much agree with the Mayor also when he talks about the enterprise fund. You know, I have a problem. One of the problems I have with government is they're always borrowing against the future. We don't do that way in the business world out there. When he comes up with these special enhancements there, well, we're going to capture about $1 million out there because we'll get it in fees. Will you tell me where you're going to get $1 million in fees in this town? And I'll sit down, because bottom line is, yeah, you can increase your fees in your enterprise funds, but you know that's special funds there. That's not going to spread out to the other part of our economy within our government, unless you borrow against it and pay it back, which I have no problem with. It's something like that, if you need some emergency funds like the mayor suggested there. However, you're putting an onus on the park department there. They actually do a good job, and to make them required to try to recapture their fees back, they do get most of their stuff back. But to put them under the knife there, I don't think that's fair either. I think they're entitled to what minimal improvements they're asking over there, and let them have a chance at it. Now, as far as the police department goes, the chief said himself, well, they're not good at recapturing fees. Well, I know you're putting through currently a code enforcement officer that full-time. And you know, on one hand you say, well, this is going to be a voluntary compliance deal, but we're going to be proactive. So what are we going to have this guy go out? He's going to nail everybody up and down the blocks there, and inside about 6 months, you guys are going to be filled up with so many complaints there that, hey, we got the fees you wanted, but are we doing the right thing? So I can see that in order to raise $1 million in fees, there's going to be a lot of angry people in this town in order, because I can't see the fees coming from these other departments down the line. So. And as far as the bonding goes, that's another borrow in the future. In the past, a lot of you know are not as ancient as I am and some of the others around here. Back in 1925, they had what was called the Mattoon Act. It authorized, and it's called something else today, it's still on the books, to borrow, that the communities could borrow against their community's properties and that there. They went out and borrowed because they figured when the bonds come due, they'll have the resources. Well, lo and behold, the Depression hit. Else now. So bonds is not always the answer. It's borrowing against the future. The thing is, when they come due, are you going to have the money, or is the citizens going to be taxed or possibly lose their houses in order to pay them off there? So I'm not too much for borrowing against something that you really don't have, assuming that you might have it down the line. Thank you for your time.
Hey, Mayor, well, Chuck's within, yes, within range. Hey, Chuck, just the fire engine piece I'd like to address with you, and if I drift, correct me. But that town hall meeting resulted in council giving direction to staff to follow up. Mm-hmm. But as far as the purchase of a piece of firefighting equipment, a fire engine specifically, mm-hmm. whether Grover Fire stays as it is today into the future, or if we were to contract, we're still responsible for providing the fire engine. So Pismo, with a CDF contract, would still pay for a newer replacement fire engine. Just wanted to share that with you.
Not a problem.
Okay.
But I do know under the CDF plans, and I believe Roy Granny has taken advantage of it, I know the government's under problems too, but when it came to the fire engines, he has provided fire engines to the various CDF departments around the country so we can have them all scattered throughout there to, if they can be used in a special emergencies for state purposes. You got one, at least one engine over in Rio Grande where that's how they got their engine, gratis.
Talking about wildland. The OAS engine, you know there's strings attached to that too, right?
Strings attached to everything we're talking about tonight.
Right. Yeah, there's major strings attached to that OAS engine. Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the public that would like to speak? Comments, suggestions? Seeing none? Bring it back to the council for their insightful deliberation.
Okay. I'm not objecting to one-time spending, even to meet the goals that we've established, because we felt those were all high-priority goals and we wanted to get rolling on them. We have the opportunity to have some significant reserves in place so that we have the opportunity to spend the money in the areas where we feel it focuses on the needs of the citizens. I mean, we've got the money. We're trying to spend it. I'm concerned about this latest analysis that if you look at the last two columns, fiscal year 04, and then the following year, the carryover budget drops $1 million. For me to go out to the community and say, what did we get for that $1 million in reserves, I'd be very hard pressed to tell them. And that's after we talk about $450,000 in revenue enhancement. Like I said, I'm not averse to this budget and the direction that is going to hit the goals that we're after, but I agree with John and Steve both that we can't to go through this budget and try and pick out $1 million in extra expenses. Is not possible. So I guess thing. So that's my dilemma is how to do this. But I would like to see us look at postponing some of the goals until our enhancements are on place, which seems to me to make more sense from a prudent budget. And again, I'm what has shocked me here is what I feel is not a balanced budget in my opinion of what a balanced budget is. So
I think one of our goals was to have the code enforcement officer. So what you're telling me, David, is that you want to move that down a few notches.
That's one
for
of
now,
our highest
for
priority
now.
Goals. And yes, I'd like to see it postponed for maybe some date certain, say 6 months from now, after we've instituted this Blue Ribbon Committee, looked at revenue enhancements, and kick in this budget 6 months from now.
Okay, so in doing that, are we going to put a timeline at, say, in 4 months we want this much done, or 6 months?
Or sooner.
Or sooner.
Yeah.
Are we going to give ourselves a timeline that we're going to do this, and do we go back and reprioritize our goals and look at it a little differently?
I think
what we asked for.
I think prime deadlines help move things along. I certainly agree with that. But I don't know. I'm open. I'd love to hear some other ideas here on how to move forward on this budget.
Well, I would agree with you. I think if there's a way we can tie it to the Blue Ribbon Committee, I think then I could get behind the budgeting concept. So, because I think that's what I've been saying from the start of this evening and maybe one of previous meetings is, can we tie these revenue enhancements to the Blue Ribbon Committee just to so we have a sound basis for that number? I understand where staff is going, but if we could do that, I think that would be a good direction.
I have another question. In the Blue Ribbon Committee, we were saying that we would have a Blue Ribbon Committee in the areas that it affected certain people. So how are we going to do that? Are we going to have one blue ribbon committee, or are we going to have a blue ribbon committee for each and every?
I think we're going to have multiple blue ribbon committees.
Yeah. What staff was proposing is that we would certainly have one for the Community Development Department for the building and planning kinds of activities, that we'd have one for the recreation kinds of activities. There are some fire-related and police-related kinds of activities that perhaps have somewhat of an overlap, and that they could be combined into one committee, perhaps, or have a couple of committees there. And there's a significant user fee to be done with regard to water and wastewater that would be off in the future, and nothing has been proposed in the budget that relates to those. But it's the potential would be there sometime in the future to have a Blue Ribbon Committee for that kind of activity.
So how long would it take us to get that? I mean, since we're going to put a timeline on ourselves, how quickly can we have this formed?
I think that we could.
Committee, would we have people who do business in our city, or do they have to be residents of our city? How are you going to?
It would primarily be folks who are who are subject to paying those fees. They are the people who are impacted, and the same would be true for recreation. If certain kinds of classes that we have, more than half of the folks that are involved in a class at any particular time may not be residents of Grover Beach, but they're the folks who are paying the fees. They're the people who are impacted by that decision. And so I would suggest that they would be the pool of people that we would go to ask if they're interested in participating on a Blue Ribbon Committee.
Thank you.
Yeah, I imagine he's already got a committee form for planning and building. I think I got four names for you.
Have they agreed to do it yet, John?
Mm. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Trust me. If they could reduce processing times and reduce their carrying costs, they'll be here.
Each department could be completely separate. If you moved fast on building and planning and Blue Ribbon Committee came with some ideas and we adopted a new fee structure and instituted it, we could go right into adopting the contingency budget items, which might be the extra billing officer. Mm-hmm.
Way
to do that department by department?
Right. Well, the first step that we had talked about and suggested was having Maximus update the user fee study to be consistent with the budget that the council adopts. And that could be information for the various Blue Ribbon committees. Now, we can initiate the process. We can get Maximus working relatively quickly on updating that if we have, the adopted budget from the council. On a somewhat parallel track, then, we can be forming the Blue Ribbon committees and dealing a little bit of background of what's in the budget, how to, what are the policy issues involved, what are the services, and some of that kind of stuff, and maybe one or two meetings devoted to that kind of activity, and then hit the ground running with regard to here's what the user fee study says, here are cost recovery kinds of ratios and issues, and let's not confine ourselves to just saying that the budget as adopted is what it is. For example, in community development, folks may say, if you can reduce my turnaround time from 2 months down to 2 weeks, I'd be willing to pay three times as much as I'm paying now. And that might involve adding staff, or it might involve adding contract kinds of assistance. That's part of the goal of having the Blue Ribbon Committee, so that the folks that are buying the service can tell us what service it is they want to buy, what their revenue enhancements. We could put a hold on some of these capital improvement kinds of activities that are related to particularly city buildings, where there is not a potential for causing more harm than good by putting it off. So, for example, we have rain gutters at the city shop. If that is going to cause damage to the building by not putting those rain gutters in there, then maybe we need to go forward with that. At the same time, we don't have to complete that until the rainy season comes up. So there's already some, you know, 3 or 4 months delay, certainly, that we could have in that kind of activity before we're even designing that. We could reduce how much we're saying the budget ought to have with regard to, in the coming fiscal year, revenue enhancements. We could lower that by, let's say, $185,000 or so, and reduce the contingency for the state budget crisis by a like amount. That would get us around the $215,000 level, which is kind of what we're being told is the situation. Now, if it's really $400,000, then we're going to have to put the brakes on certain kinds of activities when we find that out. But that would be a way to go in and say that our target for the coming fiscal year is not as high as what we're talking about. That doesn't mean that a target wouldn't be higher or that we wouldn't achieve some ongoing resources. We would know that before we put together next year's budget. We would know how much we might be getting back from the redevelopment agency or from the formation of the stormwater enterprise. We may be getting back an amortized amount for the general plan kinds of enhancements that would come out of the Blue Ribbon Committee activity that weren't part of the $450,000 estimate, for example. So we could put a hold on some of the community goal kinds of activities, and we could reduce the amount that we're looking for in terms of ongoing revenue enhancements, and we could reduce the state crisis reserve, budget crisis reserve, to amount consistent with what we are currently hearing out of Sacramento, and that would be one plan of attack.
How would you deal with, like, the police department and the fire department with the Blue Ribbon Committee?
I think the exposure for them is very small. It's less than $25,000, I think. Primarily what we're talking about there are business-related kinds of activities. So, for example, we had $10,000, I think, plugged in for fire reinspection kinds of fees. And the whole point of forcing, and it's things that are happening on property that are not fire-related or building-related kinds of activities that fall under code enforcement in the police department. And, again, that's more an issue of compliance than it is revenue generation. And if we didn't collect anything and had significant fees, that would be a good thing. It wouldn't go towards balancing the budget, but it would go towards improving the community.
Stephen.
Dee, are you done? Okay. You'd brought up fire, and I picked on recreation enough, so I figured I'd pick on fire because that was another budget where it was, you know, we're going to try to make $10,000, but we're not quite sure what the game plan is yet. And you know, we're talking about, and we haven't had our workshop on code enforcement, what was going to be more of the customer-friendly, let's work together to get past this one issue that you have so we don't have to start fining you or charging you for reinspections. And as we're talking about this, I'm trying to get to a place where I'm more comfortable with this proposed revenue enhancement. In some departments, it sounds like you can isolate the cost that would be equivalent to that proposed revenue enhancement. But in fire, there's $10,000. Where would, or is there, an offsetting cost anywhere. It doesn't seem as though there is.
Well, one of the aspects of going to provisional staffing was to have a labor force that would be available to every other two-week period to be able to do the valve exercising, hydrant maintenance, as well as fire inspection. In the past, we had a paid fire inspector, as you well know, and we're part of the offsetting costs, or the costs that we were offsetting by going to provisional staffing, was to say that we would take over the inspection with those folks. If they were to go out and have to go out a second time or a third time because folks were not addressing the issues that have been identified, that's an additional cost. It keeps them from being able to go out and exercise valves or maintain fire hydrants or do additional inspections. And so there's work that they aren't able to do that's being caused by someone who is failing to comply. So there's a justification for doing it, but there's not really a cost that you can say we can put that in contingency, right, and hope. And so that's part of why I was suggesting, well, let's lower the $450,000 down to somewhere around $250,000 and say, I think it's like $266,000, let's say, and say that that some of those things, like police and fire, are really compliance-driven kinds of fee increases or fee creations and not for revenue generation or cost offset. They would be legally offsetting costs if that came about. But if you get 100% compliance, you'd have zero revenue. So right. let's not try to balance the budget on that. But let's also recognize that when
finding $85,000 to throw towards streets, and we haven't talked about that tonight, and I was wondering, we need to resolve that issue. Should it come off this $196,000 that we may be having as additional contingency, or is that already accounted for in you dropping your proposed revenue enhancements? But we need to, I would think, come up with a decision about that $85,000 tonight.
I guess where I was going with the $185,000 reduction is that would assume
excuse me,
all other aspects of the budget would be the same. If we were looking at coming up with $85,000 more of a general fund commitment to local street paving, my recommendation would be that we only reduce that the revenue enhancements by the difference between the 85 and the 100, and so
like
around 100,000, 99,000, something like that, because what you're really talking about is an ongoing commitment out of the general fund. If you're saying that you want to put $300,000 a year of general fund taxpayer money into street improvements, then we need to have ongoing resources to be able to offset that, because we would have to either raise revenues by that amount or cut other costs, ongoing costs, in order to be able to afford that.
Okay, thanks. I was just hoping we'd get feedback from the council as well.
I'll feedback to you. I'm still in favor of doing the $85,000. I still think that even as tough as the budget is, it's going to get tougher. And to find that money next year or the year after that, even if it's a one-time thing where we do at least do $300,000 from general fund this year and we're not able to do it next year, I still think that the money spent now is much more goes a lot farther, because if we put another $85,000 into the bid that we go out for when we do the streets, we're going to get a better buck bang for our buck, because we're going to have more fee for service or whatever. So I'm still in favor of that. I still look at the bottom line of proposed of $101.5 million that is proposed in our reserves at the end of the year. That's what we're hoping we'll come up with, and we look at the general fund that's proposed to do $4.7 million a year this year. You know, general fund, if you look at 1.5 out of that, that's almost a third of our general fund. I think that's still a pretty healthy reserve to have. Even with all that we're looking at this year, we still are projecting a pretty healthy reserve. So I think that time will get tougher, things will get harder, and it's going to be harder to spend money on the streets. So if we can do it now, we better do it now.
Okay, well, I'm the opposite. I can tell you that we wanted to spend $300,000 on streets. We're now spending $567,000. And so how you can read into that, that you're not doing more than a few months ago. I love to see the balances in the budget there. And if you'd look back from the back end, from the low of 92, it continues increasing, very healthy. It's a reserve. It's not that we're spending. This is a very conservative city. We've lived within our means until this year. And we're going to drop $1 million. Boom.
You know, and one of the things I think that's kept us real conservative, and one of the things that hammered these budgets, is having line items in the past where we've, you know, staff's known we're going to hammer the line items, and they know that they had to be tough. And I think we've made them accountable.
Well, I think most of the increased spending was the desire to meet the goals that we've been laying out there. We're trying to accomplish all these extra things, and I'm still in favor of that. It's just that it's a one-time expenditure, and I hate to see us spend any more than. And it just seems like it's just a gesture. And so anyway, I'm not in favor. So.
I'm just wondering if I think there's been a lot of discussion of $300,000. Was the former council saying out of the general fund or total?
The looking at the record, I obviously wasn't here during that period of time, but looking at the record and listening to the tapes, there has not been a specific commitment from a specific. There has been a specific commitment of $300,000 a year, but not from a specific funding source. There have been, prior to that, there was an attempt to designate the utility user's tax for the purpose of local street paving. That tax was imposed, and I think some of the council members who voted for that thought they were voting for it for that specific purpose, when technically what they did was they voted for a general tax increase that added to the general resources of the city that allowed for the city to spend more money on a certain kind of activity. If that had been a special tax, a specific tax, it would have required a two-thirds approval by the voters. There was an initiative subsequent to the creation of the 1% levy to increase the levy by an additional 3%, and that additional 3% went on the ballot as a special tax. Not only did it not pass by two-thirds, it was defeated by a three-quarters vote majority. So three-quarters of the people who voted in that election said they didn't want to have utility users tax for local street paving or presumably for any purpose. So subsequent to that, the council discussed, when Council Member Ekbaum brought it up, discussed increasing the could be awarded essentially as soon as that money was approved and the fiscal year started.
Okay, because I guess the reason I asked the question is it sounds like that's a policy decision we need to make here this evening. The other thing that I've been kicking about is establishing a percentage
of our budget, whether that's general fund and all the other funds, that, let's say, goes to street improvements, because streets are important to us, rehabilitation is important to us, but when tough economic times, this, to have this set number out there and we're saying it's in the general fund, to me, is not going to be responsive. If we at least say, let's have a percentage, we can go up and down. And in the flush times, we put a lot more money on the streets. And in the lean times, people understand that it's a lean time, but we're going to still be putting a percentage of our budget toward the street. So I'm hoping we can maybe, let's get some clarity on that tonight, and let's try and put that issue to bed.
What is the definition of is? I think that's where we're at.
I'm from D.
I've been speaking. I was waiting to hear from Steve.
No, I was the one that said I need feedback.
Well, as much as it's said out there that we don't put money out in streets, we do. And I have to agree with David. Yes, we do put $300,000 in that. And then as Scholes brought up, John, he's got a great idea. When there's lean times and we don't have it out of the general fund, I mean, we're going to have to look at things a little differently. And, yes, we have this year. Money was found, and we went to $500,000. That's a lot of money. And I know our mayor wants to put another $85,000, but I don't think until we get info from the state budget that we better do that. And that's just my personal opinion. I think $500,000 is fine, and if we do get extra money, then, yes, let's put them on the streets. But we also need to look at other things that are needed right now. And those are services that go out to the community, to the people that live in this city. So we have to look at other services, too. And I think there was a thing said that our police cars going over the streets. Well, we all go over the streets, not just police cars and stuff. So I will stick with what was said in the budget this time. The $500,000, I think, is sufficient for this year. And if times get leaner, we might have to go to the Blue Ribbon Committee and say, okay, what now? And like I said, if we do get extra money, then yes, let's put them where it's needed. Okay, Steve, that's my input.
I like John's idea. I mean, I think that's a really innovative idea. And I don't know how we could see if there's enough interest in pursuing that at a later time, but I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's something we maybe should agendize or something on a...
And I should maybe further clarify, I guess I would certainly be interested in looking for additional monies this year with the understanding that in the future we're going to set this policy and that's what we're going to live by. I mean, if you're looking for additional $85,000 put on the streets and yeah.
And a couple of times we kind of complained that the money didn't come out of general funds, it came from other funds, but we got our $300,000, so we were kind of happy about that. But I guess I'm just never happy with this. You know, I mean, I'd always like to see more money on the streets. And I think that, as I said, I think in the future we're going to have less money. So if we can afford to do it this year, now's the time to do it, because we may not be able to afford to do it again. And we actually hedged on it last year. I think we hedged on – we could have probably put more money on the streets last year because we hedged on what the state was going to do. And I think we could have probably spent more money as it looks – as it turned out.
It would have been just more reserve money, so it isn't that you lost the money, just that you didn't spend it last year.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for a percentage of general fund, what percentage are you interested in? Now, this year you're proposing to spend $652,000 on streets.
But that's not general fund.
That's not all general fund.
There's only $215,000 out of general fund money, so that's about...
So you're talking about...
2%.
He needs to speak.
It's 57,935,
yeah.
30,000, and 315. So it's over 300,000.
Well, my point was, if you're going to look for a percentage that you're going to lock yourself into forever, regardless of any other situation, you're locking in your most flexible money forever to a certain percentage to be spent on streets, regardless of any. problems or anything that would arise.
But
that scares me.
Haven't you done that already with the $300,000 per se?
That's an annual commitment, but yes, we are saying we very definitely want to do that, and we feel that is. But if there was 1992 again, I'd like to have the flexibility to say, we can't do it this year. That's the reason we're here.
I think that's what the 10% would go down if we're...
Well,
if there was a 1992, I don't think we'd be doing it.
Or whatever percent.
Yeah. 10%. Now you're really scared him. Yeah.
Well, yeah, in 92, the beginning balance as a percentage of total resources is 0.3%. So it got pretty close.
So I think that's an issue for another day anyway, but I was just wondering if you're talking about establishing a spending funding on our streets of $300,000 in general fund plus our gas tax plus our LTF money, so we're going to end up trying to commit $650,000 every year on our streets. That's generous, but
that's a subsequent discussion at another hearing, but I think it's a discussion we need to have.
Well, the gas tax I was going to say gas tax and LTF changes on a yearly basis too. We don't always have that. It's contingent on how things go too. So.
I think one of the things that's important to include in that kind of a policy is the recognition that the user fees, that the revenue enhancements that we're talking about, are going towards activities that can't go towards streets, can't go towards anything other than what those fees are being raised for. So if you take out those kind of activities from the general fund that are related to user fee activities, and you take out the kind of revenues that are...
Yeah, what he said.
That was just the Reader's Digest version. I can explain it in much more detail.
Save that for the next meeting.
I had one more thing.
Yes, Steve.
Back to the proposed revenue enhancements and the reserves. Ron, I just wanted to – I'm still trying to make myself feel better on this. So the budget line item on the reserve is $411,000. The latest information we have about the impact from the state is $215,000. Leaves around $200,000. So you're suggesting reducing the proposed revenue enhancement, which is at about $450,000, by this $200,000?
$185,000. Which would be the difference between the 400? Actually, the number is after we had the exercise that Gayla mentioned with regard to the liability costs being higher than what we were known at the time that we put the budget together. That lowered that number to right around 400,000. It's 399, I think, at this point. And so, if we were to take the difference between that and what the number is that we're getting out of league, the 215. The difference between those is around 184,000. And so let's say we took the 184 off of the anticipated user fee revenue enhancements, then we would be somewhere around $250,000, $260,000 for that kind of activity.
I know it's a tough call, but I'd sure like to be able to support this. What percentage of this 260 can we tie up in contingency as far as an expenditure offset?
Well, we can tie up other activities that aren't necessarily user fee supported. For example, don't hire the CEO, full-time CEO position. We can look at some of these capital improvement projects that we can probably delay and at least until January and or until the Blue Ribbon Committee exercise has run its course and come up with recommendations, and the council's had public hearings on those kind of activities and made a decision. Again, those are primarily one-time kinds of activities, but if we were to, for example, put a freeze on the proposed new recreation coordinator position, it seemed like that would send the opposite message of what we're talking about with regard to the recreation program. The economic development coordinator position, we could put a freeze on that, but it doesn't save any general fund money and has the potential of costing general fund money, if not in this current year or the coming year budget, certainly by the following year budget. So I wouldn't recommend that. I wouldn't recommend putting a freeze on the vehicle acquisitions that are proposed. There's only really a police vehicle, two public works vehicles, and the fire engine. And I think all of them are needed. They aren't the my reading of where we are now with regard to the council position on that is that in effect we have slipped 1 year, and that we are in a mode of negotiating with the county to figure out what the county is willing to support and to come back and discuss that policy question with the council. And does it make sense to go forward with the agency area with some portion of the proposed area being reduced out of that? Does it still pencil to do that? Part of the cost that is spread to that area in the coming year is for the economic development coordinator position. So clearly we're going to be spending time negotiating with the county on that kind of activity, and there are things happening in that area that in my mind, if that area forms, then it's entirely appropriate for that cost to be a debt of that agency. And if the area doesn't form, those are activities that are not lost, because the general fund can still engage in economic development activities. It's just that the range of tools that a city has versus an agency has is different, and the public purpose of an agency is different than the public purpose of the city. But a city can still engage in economic development activity, and so I think that would be entirely appropriate to do that. And that debt is something that, if the agency area is formed, would be entirely appropriate to recover through tax increment to pay back to the general fund.
Now that that's perfectly clear.
Just looking for ways to cut stuff, man.
I know.
You know, I haven't heard about any real cuts. There isn't any cost savings in your suggestions that you're going to reduce the estimated cost that we're going to give the state money that is going to be 212. We're going to reduce that by $185,000. You're going to reduce the $185,000 mm-hmm. of the entitlements, not the entitlement, the enhancements.
Enhancements, yeah.
That's a paperwork shuffle. You're going to postpone a few things until this fall or this winter or something, but there isn't any cost savings in that. You're postponing expenses, and you're reducing some numbers on your budget here. It's a paperwork shuffle is what we're doing, or your suggestion.
Well, a couple of things. One is, as mentioned earlier this evening, the general fund is balanced two different ways. One of the ways that it's balanced is ongoing revenues versus ongoing expenditures. It's $267,000 to the good. If we were to reduce the $184,000 that I suggested, we still would be some $80,000 to the good in that particular area. The potential for blue ribbon committee enhancements, by lowering what that target is, the potential to exceed that number is bringing at things like amortizing the general plan update kinds of activities that are legal to do, and it's the kind of things that San Luis Obispo and other major cities are doing around the state.
I think we'll have to be looking at how that compares to the other cities around us too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still have to be somewhere in the ballpark. I think we're low now, so.
I would think that our goal would be to enhance services dramatically and perhaps increase fees significantly, but still be the best bargain in the county.
Okay. Yeah,
that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
I guess my concern about your paperwork shuffle still doesn't address the $85,000 more you want to bring in on the streets right now.
Were you talking about earlier, Steve? Would we reduce to bring the $85,000 in? Didn't you have a suggestion?
So you're going to keep the enhancements $100,000 higher than you just suggested. You reduce your your enhancements by $85,000 rather than $185,000.
Right.
Reduced by 100 rather than 185.
Another proposal I had to keep your general fund revenues higher would be to take the to borrow money from your wastewater instead of the general fund. And it's another paper shuffle, but it still would make the general fund a lot healthier on paper and still probably have enough money in our wastewater fund, enterprise fund, to be sufficient.
Again, that's one-time resources. It's
right.
A policy decision. You guys can do it if you want to. Another way to look at it would be, I suppose, that if we needed if the general fund needed bailing out sometime during the year, then that would be a place to go to do that. Right. So if we are
half a dozen, one six or the other. Yeah. So.
Gail, you look like you want to say something.
If the improvement agency area was not to go and we had spent the funds out of the general fund for transferring the funds in, the general fund can legally take the hit. If we ended up using the wastewater fund and we did not go with the improvement agency, the general fund would have to come in and make the wastewater fund whole.
Okay. Plus whatever interest that occurred.
Boy, we appear to be
Go ahead, David. Make the motion.
Nobody wants to do that.
I would move we approve the budget with one correction, and that is to put $85,000 more on street improvements. And I approve the budget as stands. Other than that, that's the only amendment I would make.
Instituting any of it or anything, just full budget as written with an additional $85,000.
Okay, I would amend that to the amendments that Ron had made with a delay in that the revenue enhancements and maybe the adjustment that we hopefully will have at the state budget of $215,000 instead of $440,000 or whatever it was, plus delaying maybe code enforcement officer implementation at this point. How's that? That's three different things.
So just for clarification.
I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. I know you're just trying to get something going by making a motion from the chair. But so what I heard you say is that we would enhance the amount of money that's going from the general fund to local streets and reduce the amount of money that we're anticipating with regard to revenue enhancements by about $100,000 and reduce the contingency for the state budget reserve down to $215,506 or whatever.
Yes, I guess. Actually, I don't know if the chair can even make a motion.
If there's no other motion from the floor, you're in a position to do so. Based on the fact that this one was amended or there were different suggestions being made, perhaps that motion should come from a different chair, from a different seat.
Sounds good to me.
So it dies for lack of a second?
Well, could we have the clerk or someone read back his motion so we're clear? Good luck.
Let me try. The amount of money allocated from the general fund for local street improvement program would increase by $85,000 from the proposed budget as amended by staff's $11,000 that we discussed on last Wednesday, that the amount that would be counted on as revenue enhancement would be reduced by about $100,000, and that the state budget crisis reserve would be reduced to $215,506. And we can come up with a precise, whether it's $100,000 or $99,000 or $99,500 or whatever, we can, if that's the intent, then we can calculate that.
Did that include tying, getting the Blue Ribbon Committees going, holding off on certain positions until we get the Blue Ribbon Committees to meet? And
The code enforcement officer and holding off on the non-street paving capital improvements projects that would not count the special project kinds of things that are.
And the technology plan would go forward.
Right.
Okay. I'm wondering if a friendly amendment might be in order. If we're talking about reducing the revenue enhancements by $100,000, if we can specify which departments are going to do the revenue enhancement. I think you were talking about doing it proportionally across the board. I think the largest potential is in building and planning. So,
I think the reductions would be in the area of the police department, fire department, and parks and rec. And that part of it, I guess, is that if the council is saying moving towards an enterprise or at least investigating that seriously in the Blue Ribbon Committee exercise, that would be helpful to staff to know that.
Is there a way we can make a motion to accept the budget as is, but with some of these expenditures not happening till after the Blue Ribbon Committee has been formed and given us back the information, and at that point we can decide whether those expenditures can be met or we can just eliminate?
Certainly, and I think what we were suggesting was the CAO position would be one of those kind of activities that the capital improvements in the general fund that are not special projects or not street improvements would be sequestered or held in contingency. Certainly any activity that doesn't go towards the kinds of things that are in the financial policies with regard to the use of reserves would be something that we would be very reluctant to move forward on and would hold off until the Blue Ribbon Committee exercise.
Okay, that would be my motion.
You're asking him to amend his motion?
Oh.
So amended.
And we're talking in concept, correct?
Sure. Anything that will get you guys off the dime.
You were talking about amending what is on the table.
I thought he had tabled his motion already. So that's why I was asking if now I could go ahead and make a motion.
So what is on the floor right now is the chair's motion with a friendly amendment that was accepted by Councilmember Scholz. But
was that?
Is that correct?
That is, yeah, that's correct. And I was gonna second his motion.
Oh.
That's why I was trying to ask you for modification.
Yes. Okay. I agree with the amendment. You did make an amendment, right?
Yes.
Okay.
guys all lost?
I'm just looking. I have a question, but I guess I could hold off till discussion.
It's discussion. We have a motion and a second, so now it's discussion.
So, Ron, the expenditures from the major capital expenditure, the thing.
And I'd be willing to say the same response I gave to Councilmember Santos, that we would put the CEO on hold, filling that position, and anything that are new initiatives that don't go towards the policies that the council's been. Sounds like the council is ready to embrace with regard to the amendments to the financial policies, that ongoing or that one-time resources really ought to be going towards ongoing revenue generation, ongoing expenditure savings or cost avoidance, or leveraging the expenditure of funds by public or private entities, and that those kinds of activities that are part of the new budget initiatives that don't do that, we would be putting on hold until such time as we are getting a response from the Blue Ribbon Committee. So, for example, the Parks and Rec, the recreation coordinator position, we would put into the queue and try to get that position filled. If we have a list now, then we would fill it right away. If we don't have a list, then we would go through the recruitment process and examination process and fill that position, because the whole point is to try to enhance the recreation program and to do that in the context of the Blue Ribbon Committee.
What's the ballpark figure for the code enforcement officer position? The salary and benefits?
It's budgeted for 9 months, and salary and benefits is $37,942.
38. Okay. Okay, thanks.
Call the question.
We have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please? Yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
Mayor Pro Tem and Vice Chair Santos.
No.
Well, back to the drawing board.
Okay. Now, I'll make a motion of what I had previously stated to accept this budget and then come back with the findings from the Blue Ribbon Committee. And at that point, if we want to do the expenditures, we have the option. Is that, am I wording this right?
Okay.
And if not, then we just eliminate them at that time.
What expenditures?
If we need to change things and eliminate the purchasing of certain items. Am I stating this right? After we've heard from the Blue Ribbon Committees and the community development part and the planning and all these different groups. And at that point, because like we had mentioned that some of this wouldn't come until the fall, maybe the first of the year, and we would have that option to
staff not to spend until we receive the input from the Blue Room Committees and adopt the new policies.
Well, for one, do you want the code enforcement officer or not? I mean, that was one of the priorities that we had suggested. If we're going to keep them, then let's put it in. I mean, I want input from you guys. If we're going to do that, then let's do it now.
I guess the concern I have is the one I've talked about earlier, is the revenue enhancement number is still at the, what, $415,000? So that's why I'm...
$399.
Is that what the number is?
Yeah, I think that's where we are. Okay. Well, what we did in discussion last Wednesday, where we updated the council with regard to some of the activities that had been placed into the Parks and Rec budget that previously had been elsewhere, and that it was inappropriate to to say that Parks and Rec ought to come up with additional revenue enhancements to recover the cost of the Chamber of Commerce kinds of. So that reduced it by $24,000, I think, and some other adjustments. So I think we're somewhere around three. Do you know where are we? 399, 389, something like that. 390. So that's why what I had indicated earlier, that if we were to remove from the anticipated revenue enhancements the amounts in the police department, fire department, significantly decrease it in Parks and Rec, and then reduce the state budget crisis reserve to the $215,000 and had an offset of about $185,000 from the revenue enhancements, that we'd be somewhere around the $250,000-$260,000 level for revenue enhancements, which I think is achievable even with the Blue Ribbon Committee exercise taking some time. And particularly if the council is saying that you want us to seriously pursue with the Community Development Blue Ribbon Committee the concept of an enterprise activity and full cost recovery.
Okay, so then we can reduce the revenue enhancement? Mm-hmm. Okay, can that be part of the motion?
Sure.
Does anybody else have any suggestions to make this move? We all want to sit here tonight?
Have you gone away from the increasing the $85,000 additional $1,000?
No, I don't want that.
Okay. That's not part of the motion?
No, that's not part of the motion. Like I said, if we get a nice gift from the state, then...
Grief tonight because I've been crunching numbers all night. But if we took the $99,000 that was from that reserve to apply to the proposed enhanced revenue enhancement for those three departments, police, fire, and parks and rec, it came up to about $175,000. We take $99,000 off of that. We end up with about $76,000, and I'm always looking for offsetting expenditures that we're not going to spend until we figure this out. Well, $30,000 of that was the capital improvement plan items you outlined. $38,000 was the code enforcement position. We're down to a gap of about $8,000 to make me happy that we're not going to spend money, and, you know, we need offsets.
Council salaries, I tell you.
Yeah, that could be the $267 times five plus something else. So if we can amend the motion to basically the initial motion that failed, and I'm enhancing that to say we will be sure to isolate offsetting costs. I mean, we're down to like an $8,000 gap. If we could find $8,000 somewhere in the budget to throw into in a contingency, we've nailed down the gap that's been causing me grief since I've seen this budget. So I don't know, Martin, you're looking at me a very perplexed look in your
is that including the $85,000 that Ron won?
That includes the $85,000 that was in the first motion. Basically closing the gap with offsetting expenditures to the proposed revenue enhancements. That's the motion. To approve the budget and concept based on that.
Would you be open to an amendment to, so we understand that the additional monies is for this year and then some future date we give staff direction to come back and let's discuss the policy of how much we're going to put toward street rehabilitation?
Yes, certainly. I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you've got a second.
Hey, Mayor.
Oh, we have a motion and a second for a roll call vote. I'm trying to find $8,000 for you. But
I'm trying to understand your math there. So could you walk me through it or somebody one more time?
Okay.
You're going to reduce?
No. So basically with the and help me if I get off base here, but we talked about that budget crisis number.
Right.
So we reduced that, including the $85,000. We came up with about $99,000 versus, or you were saying $100,000 versus $185,000 earlier. Remember that?
Wait a minute. The number now is $399. Is that the state?
Right. So let's say $399 less $215 is.
Okay.
That's on another piece of paper.
$184.
Yeah.
And then $184. You take $85 out for the streets. You have $100.
Okay.
Okay. So then I took the proposed revenue enhancements for police at 18, fire at 10, parks and rec at 147, and came up with $175,000. I subtracted $99,000 from that.
So you're saying that those departments, you don't think that they should try and recover those costs?
No, I'm saying we should work towards that. But I think, as John and Ron discussed earlier, community development and building has the highest
probability
of achieving that goal. So I'm just thinking, he had mentioned earlier he would remove it from those departments. So that left, if you take the 147, I'm sorry, it leaves about $76,000. And we found $30,000 in costs on the capital improvement plan that would be delayed until the Blue Ribbon Committees do their thing.
Board Member Shulman?
Yes.
Councilman Board Member Eckbaum?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem and Vice Chair Santos?
No.
Mayor and Chair Arneson?
Yes. Okay. Beat that completely to death.
That are we already?
It's over already. Let's take about, we're going to adjourn this joint meeting. We'll take about 5 or 10 minutes, and we'll be back 9:10, 9:15 for the rest of the city council agenda.
I was going to go down with nose for the first time in history. And then I felt guilty. I just wanted to see what it would feel like. I just wanted to see what it would feel like.
Does this have a good check it out?
Yeah, we're good.
I'm done. I'm retired from grinding numbers after all the grief you gave me.
Man, I kept looking over there. Every 10 minutes you were doing something. I'm thinking, my gosh.
Man, I was just trying to, because I was going to say, no way. And then I was like, deal with 12 seconds. I'm willing to negotiate and morph and change.
You're a morph, all right.
Unlike my personality.
Well, I kept thinking, geez, I mean, Steve's got to have something to say, and that's why I was just glad.
Oh, yeah, they can come back and say it's $800,000. They can come back and say the state's still $800,000.
There's a lot of stuff that's just a guess.
So
much.
It is. So
well, I have to figure it out someplace else, huh? You guys ready?
Game on.
Okay, we'll bring this council meeting back to order. We haven't really dealt with the public communications on the council aspect yet, so at this time we'll open up the meeting to public communications. Anyone that wants to speak to the council on any item not on the agenda may do it at this time. Seeing none, we'll come back to the council, and we'll deal with the consent agenda items 2 through 8. Are there any items that anyone would like to pull off the agenda for separate consideration or for discussion?
Item 3, please.
Dave would like to do number 3.
Mayor, I think staff would like to pull number 6 to explain a little more detail.
Okay.
If there's no others, then I'll make a motion. We accept 2, 4, 5, 7, 8.
Second.
Thank you. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
Councilmember Shulman?
Yes.
Councilmember Eckbaum?
Yes.
Councilmember Lieberman?
Yes.
Mayor Arnold?
I don't know. Yes. Okay, item number 3, minutes of the regular meeting, council meeting of June 2nd, and the joint council improvement agency meeting of June 2nd. I guess Dave would like to
I'd like to abstain from that, but I'd also like to discuss it. And I did watch the entire part of the letter that they indicated they were concerned about. They thought it might prematurely change from farmland to development because of this designated as a redevelopment area. That was the only issue in their letter. The other issue that they brought up at the meeting, apparently, about the industrial area park that's there and the building that's being built, which the owner will tell you the only reason he went forward with this was because of the city's focus on that area and their discussion about redevelopment, and the rest of it's been sitting dormant for 4 or 5 years. He has no arguments, as far as I'm concerned, the county. And the fact that they came in at the very last minute of the last day and delayed the vote and postponed it so that we couldn't even use the same base year, put us back an entire year, I think was terrible. And I think we should say something about it rather than just accept it and move on. And I understand that we're negotiating with them, and I would like to just make them defend their position more than just coming at the very last minute and putting a big monkey wrench in our business. And I think that's what they were doing. There's any interagency goodwill, I would think, went out the window with this kind of tactic. So my discussion would be, I'd like to see us ask the mayor to send a letter, or the staff to send a letter explaining the results of what they did and complaining about the last-minute tactics of it. So with that, I'm
Dave, I'm totally in agreement with you. As I said that night, I think that, first of all, that the redevelopment people that we had the group that put the redevelopment thing together for us put us in a position where we're at last minute. We didn't have a chance if anybody were to object to it. And I don't know if that's their fault or not, but I would have really thought that they should have pushed it farther, quicker and farther, so that we wouldn't be in that position that if someone objected to a redevelopment agency, we'd be in this position. So that was my first disappointing thing that I was disappointed with. The second thing is, this is pretty typical of a county. This is the second thing that I've been involved with this year that the county has last-minuted, and the other one was at the sanitation district item. And it's well-planned. They did exactly what they wanted to. They kept us from having a redevelopment agency this year that would capture some funds, and whether they win or not, they basically put the screws to us. And I agree with you. I think that it's unacceptable, and I think we need to write some kind of a letter to not only Pape Bernard but the whole county supervisorial, all the supervisors.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, I don't know. When we got into this activity, I think Bruce Ambo was pushing us to move forward with that, and was saying that we were laying out an ambitious timeline. So I think Urban Futures was, and so that has been part of the plan all along, and the county and other property taxing jurisdictions have been advised all along. And as you point out, it was a 11th hour, 11 hour and 59 minute kind of activity. I think it would be appropriate, if it's council's will, and for the staff to bring back a draft letter for the council to approve. I think it's an important kind of thing that I think all the council ought to look at it and not just have us draft something that it just the mayor signs or that I sign. That would be my recommendation.
Okay. Additionally, consideration should be given whether the letter should come from the council, from the board of the agency, or jointly. And if it is your wish to have a joint letter, then it should be agendized on both agendas.
Joint letter?
Yeah. Would it be wiser to present it at a public comment period, so that way the public has notice of what is being said or given to them, rather than just mailed to them?
Well, staff would propose that since this is a basically direction to staff
we'll
at this point,
agendize that item.
Agendize an item. Cool. We will agendize it and bring for your review a proposed draft, and at that point in time, you may take some public comment. The public hearing pertaining to the plan has been continued to September 2nd, I believe. So there should be no public hearing with regard to the actual plan itself until that date. But we certainly can, or the board and the council can take comment on the letter from the public.
I think what Dee is referring to is maybe a public comment at a supervisorial meeting or something. I think that's what she's. I think that's where she's going.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just a letter, but maybe a tongue lashing at a public comment session of the public at a supervisorial meeting.
So yeah, I like that letter, and I like Dave to go present it at the public communication.
Yeah.
we'll agendize that.
I was going to the one right after that, and they postponed that meeting. I did talk to Ms. Pinard, and she did see the original letter. Apparently, they did discuss the letter somewhat, and she wasn't as upset with it as I was. So it's, I don't know how much support we're going to get there, but there should be support. It was a terrible thing for them to do.
Yeah. Okay. Item number three, can we have a motion on item number three?
I move we accept item number three.
Second.
And I'm going to accept abstaining from voting on it. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. I don't think that works out.
I make a motion we accept item number three.
A second. Go ahead. Was that a second?
All in favor?
Councilmember Lieberman?
Aye.
Aye.
I abstain.
And show abstain. That Councilmember Ekbom is abstaining. Item number six, staff would like to do a little presentation or have some input into the California Joint Powers Insurance Authority.
Make it brief. You got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, let me just introduce
thank you,
the ma'am. Item and turn it over to Gayla.
Donna, can you start that light thing over there?
See? Oh, she did.
I'm sure Gayla would like to get out of here as soon as possible,
yeah,
too.
Let's go.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, at the May 28th meeting of the Board of Directors for the Central Coast City Self-Insurance Fund, all of the members except for Lompoc made a decision to go with the California Joint Powers Insurance Authority with regards to liability insurance coverage. Lompoc, to my understanding, declined to go with the CJPIA due to not being able to choose their own attorney. One of the reasons why I went and voted in place of the city manager was they also have a 6-month insurance for city managers if they are to leave office at the council's desire. The 6-month, I have found out more information today, the 6-month waiting period would commence after any city benefit has been expired, and only if the city manager has not found employment elsewhere. So it is an extended benefit above what is in the city manager's contract. They have a board of directors, which if we go with them, one member of the city council would need to be elected to be on their board of directors, and they meet once a year. Everything else is pretty much stipulated in the staff report.
But there's one other issue that needs to be really clear, and that is that actually a couple issues. One is that this agency really makes the decisions with regard to what they settle, what they go to court on, and who represents the city. And so a considerable amount of authority that you have under the current situation would be basically given over to the CJPIA. Again, one of the council members would sit on the board of directors. There's a city managers committee that advises the board of directors, and there's a risk managers committee that advises the board of directors.
Also a finance officers committee.
Right. And the other side of the coin, or the other issue, is since all of the cities except for Lompoc were moving in this direction, the city of Grover Beach acting on its own would have a very difficult time getting reinsurance. That's the umbrella insurance coverage that goes beyond the self-insurance retention reserve that that we're required to have. So I think that was a primary reason why GALA was voting along with the rest of the cities to go in that direction, because there's no way that we could exist being self-insured as the size agency that we are for liability. And so what's before you has is a change in the way we're doing have been doing business. The other aspects of it that are very positive is CJPIA is very strong with regard to turn that around, and that's the reason why we have recommended the risk management program in the Administrative Services Department. But we thought that it would be appropriate that this is not just a routine action for the council, and that, that you ought to have full disclosure of what is occurring. Be happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Yeah.
I actually had written all over this. And under fiscal impact, we're talking about the amount of liability increase by $7,600. Is that per year?
That was for the current fiscal year. Each year will change.
Okay. And you're saying the total impact is unknown. We don't have any idea of what angle were you coming at when you were talking about the fiscal impact on
the this? Fiscal impact is over what we would have been paying if the CCCSIF would have stayed together for liability insurance purposes.
Okay. And does it have to be 3 years? Is there a trial period?
We can opt out of this and attempt to join a different joint powers authority. The part of how we, another one of the considerations that we had for moving towards this one is that the way CCCSIF worked with CJPIA was to say, you have to give us a quote on taking all of our members, even though some of our members may be less attractive risks than others. And so they gave us that kind of a quote. If we're out in the market trying to join another JPIA, we're an individual, and unless our risk picture changes to the better, we could find less attractive situations in other sharing situations.
Okay, that's all my question.
David, a couple. Well. If ours has jumped 7,600, I don't know what the total package is, but obviously everybody else's would have jumped up too. Why did they go to this? Isn't this an idea of reducing your?
There's a couple of issues. One is that the reason why CCCSIF was going up significantly was because our reinsurance had expired, and so we were looking at renewing that, and the quote for renewing that was a significant increase. For some cities, going to we looked at three different alternatives, and the sharing basis, the allocation basis is different for each one of the entities. Some of the cities in CCCSIF had much more attractive numbers under the CJPIA that is before you now. Some cities like Aurora Grande was a slight increase, as it is for us. Cities like San Luis Obispo, as I recall, had a significant decrease. And I think the part of the attraction for going to this other situation was that it had as quickly if everybody else isn't doing the same thing. And that's why I think they invest so much time and effort in training, and it's all free training, right, Gayla?
Yes. Okay. And there will be additional training opportunities for the city, including training in the area of workers' comp, even though we're not going with them for workers' comp.
And is this a statewide organization?
It's primarily in Southern California.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No.
Okay.
I was sticking to my...
Move approval of agenda item 6. Consent agenda item.
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call vote, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you. Moving into public hearing items, number 9, 2002-2003 Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program. Staff report by Interim Community Development Director Bob Mack. And Bob, would you introduce Bill?
Yes, it's my great pleasure to introduce Bill Farrell, who is your Interim Community Development Director for the starting right now. actually, he started, he was with us on Thursday morning and has been working through to this point and will continue.
Thank you, Bob. Welcome aboard, Bill. Welcome aboard, Bill.
See you, Bob.
Not yet.
DBE, or Mr. Mayor and members of the council, city staff, the DBE, or Disadvantaged Business Enterprise in California, is a small business which is minority owned and certified as such by the state to be a part of the program, which means that most firms which meet the first two qualifications aren't certified and they are not members of this program. The city each year must adopt its own program along with all other local governments in order to qualify for HUD funds on its projects. That's CDBG money for when we do construction projects, as well as the projects which are run through Caltrans from the Federal Department of Transportation. And some of the funds that we have that are involved in that are, as an example, our North Oak Park project, a traffic mitigation project. We have coming up some project in a park, 16th Street Park, et cetera. Now, in order to qualify for those funds, as well as federal emergency funds, in the event that there were some disastrous natural event that would occur here and we had damages, we would have to be qualified as through this program each year in order to receive those funds which would assist us in the cleanup and the restoration processes on our roads and public facilities. So it's extremely important we be a part of this program. The program requires us to adopt a program that pertains just. And so a goal is established, which means that in this particular case, 21% of the funds through these programs that we would start construction on before October 1st would ideally go to minority DBE firms that are certified by the state. Now, if there are three ways that you can qualify or comply with the law. One, if all of your 21% or more is met by going to DBE certified funds, or a lesser amount, including zero, goes to less than 21% goes to DBE qualified firms. And there is a demonstration by both the contractor and the city that they made a good faith effort to get a full 21% involvement. There are cases, and it is the majority in San Luis Obispo County, where there are no bids with any percentage. Those qualify for funding as well, as long as the demonstration is made again by the contractors who bid and by the city that a good faith effort was made to get those firms involved in the bid process. One of the ways that the city does that is through an outreach program of advertising in statewide publications that go to DBE firms. I would urge you, so I'm sure with the public, to support and adopt a resolution approving the DBE program that would go into effect at 21% goal from now to October 1st.
Thank you, Bob. Any questions of Bob?
No questions.
Any public input on item number 9, which is a public hearing? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council.
I move we adopt the attached resolution, which adopts and approves the attached DBE, draft DBE program.
Second.
Motion and second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion passes unanimously. We move into regular business. There is none at this time. Council committee reports. Quick and fast. Dave Eckbaum.
None.
None. Steve.
No.
Me neither.
No.
E?
Yes.
Oh, you'd have to ruin it, wouldn't you?
Hey, guys.
Oh, you said no.
Hit the light, Donna.
Yeah, hit the light, Donna.
I can do it quick. So just be quiet. Okay. Grover Beautiful Committee, as you've seen tonight, had their garden tour. It went excellent. There's also a fellow, and I hope he watches, that he brought us 36 plants.
Wow.
Out of his own home, had them marked and everything.
Who?
To give away. Some fella, and we never got his name. I think his name is Ernie. He lives here in Grover. And he didn't want to go on the garden tour. He just wanted to bring plants and exchange with other people. And he, in turn, took maybe just a couple himself. But whoever he is out there, I want to thank him. That's all. Let's go.
And you told me you didn't know what marijuana looks like?
Yeah, I don't.
You better check those plants real close, Dee. Okay. City manager agenda. City manager's agenda, we have none. City council agenda, we have none. Public communication, anybody that would like this point? Dave, Steve, John, Dee?
I just want to make one comment that before it's in the paper that we voted no on fixing streets, we didn't vote no to fix streets. We voted to appropriate so much money for them.
Tell them.
Thank you.
Okay. At this time, we will adjourn this meeting. We'll move into the Grover Beach Improvement Agency meeting for Monday, June 16th. Have a roll call, please.
Here.
Here.
Coordinator Scholes.
Here.
Chair Santos.
Here.
Chair
Arnoldson. Here. Thank you. Public communications. Once again, this is a time for public communications only. It's for the Grover Beach Improvement Agency. Anyone that would like to speak to this agency for a period not to exceed 3 minutes may do so at this time. Seeing nobody, we will go bring it back to the council for consent agenda items A1 and A2.
Move the consent agenda.
Second.
Hey, you guys are sharp. Okay. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
Vice Chair Santos?
Yes.
Board Member Eckbaum?
Oh, I should have said no. Should have separated.
Board Member Lieberman?
Yes.
Chair Arnoldson?
Yes. Motions pass. We have regular improvement agency business, none at this time. So we're going to adjourn the improvement agency, the Grover Beach Improvement Agency. We're going to move into closed session items on the Grover Beach City Council. And so we will be adjourning to